Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Welcome to Alive to Thrive. That was a short selection of some great piano playing called Boogie 427 by Kevin McKendry of Nashville, Tennessee. I just got back from Nashville. I was there last week for my birthday. It was fantastic. We got to see Lady Antebellum, Martina McBride, Jewel. It was a benefit for the Children's Miracle Network. And it was just a terrific time to just get away a little bit and enjoy the beautiful autumn season. Today we have two guests joining us. The first is a dear friend. They're both dear friends, actually, but author and cook Maria Bondurant. She's going to be sharing some ideas from her new cookbook called Maria's Favorite Recipes. And it just came out about a month ago. And it's exclusively carried at Butterfly and Moon. You've heard me talk about Butterfly and Moon at 814 South Main Street in historic St. Charles. The book has been flying off the shelf. It's the perfect time to get some tips for the holidays, with Thanksgiving coming up next week. And Christmas is, I think, only 37 days away. Hard to believe. But want to welcome Maria to the show. And then we'll also have another guest after that. But Maria, welcome to Alive to Thrive.
Good morning, Brenda. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. I know you're in the kitchen today cooking up a storm because there's a book launch tonight at 4 o'clock, and you'll have some of your recipes there to share with, I'm sure, a big crowd that's coming. So tell us a little bit about, how did you get started cooking? Was it in your mother's kitchen like most young girls?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Cooking has always been a passion of mine, and it's because I started at a very young age cooking alongside my mother in the kitchen along with my 11 siblings. We kept busy cooking, and we made some delicious meals. And so what I have done with my cookbook, I created my favorite appetizers, which is a collection of easy recipes that are delicious and healthy.
And so why did you want to focus on just appetizers? I'm sure you love all sorts of cooking with entrees and desserts, but why did you focus on appetizers first?
I focused on appetizers first because this is the first book that I created, and I plan on doing a series of cookbooks, and appetizers was a good way for me to start and learn the works, the ins and outs of creating a cookbook. And so I took my favorite recipes and I compiled them into this book. And the reason I chose these, that they fall into this category, is because they are easy. I took the traditional recipes and I recreated them with healthier versions of ingredients. So that way they are healthy, but yet they're tasty.
So tell us about some of the healthier ingredients and why you chose certain ingredients. Because when I think of appetizers, sometimes I think of a lot of cheese and a lot of doughy bread or, you know, just things that might not be too healthy. So what are some of the healthy ingredients you use in your recipes?
Okay. Well, cheese is you know, one of the ingredients that I do use in several of my recipes. But, you know, you got to realize that cheese is a good source of calcium. And if you eat it in moderation and include other ingredients with your appetizers or dishes that you create, you know, you can make it a healthy dessert or recipe. For example, tonight I'm serving a cranberry dip, and with the cranberries and nuts that are included with this with the cream cheese, as you know, nuts are just crazy good for you, and these include walnuts and almonds and pecans, and those are linked to, you know, lowering cholesterol, and they're heart healthy. So with all of my recipes, I try to include items that would have some type of health benefits to you.
And do you have recipes that are vegetarian?
I do. All of my recipes are pretty versatile. Like, say, for example, tonight I'm serving sausage cups, which is in my cookbook, but you can leave out the sausage in these cups and replace it with the portobello mushrooms. So I am going to be serving not only the sausage cups, but I also made a vegetarian version. And like I said, I use the portobello mushrooms, and they're very tasty.
Now, did you try out these recipes on friends and have a focus group of sorts of people before, you know, was it hard to choose which ones to put in the book and which ones not to include?
Well, I did. I made every recipe that's in this cookbook. And like I said, I had to substitute ingredients. So I had to do quite a few trials, and I would get some opinions from vegetarians and non-vegetarians because, again, even though I was recreating these recipes, I still wanted them to be flavorful and healthy and easy. And so yes, I did do some trials. Some worked, some didn't. And hopefully everybody will enjoy the recipes that I'm making this evening when they come to the book signing at Butterfly and Moon.
Awesome. Well, I saw something on, I think it was the Today Show this week, where they were showing some healthier versions of some of the Thanksgiving traditional side dishes and things like sweet potato, and mixing that with carrot and putting that together to sweeten it rather than using a lot of sugar. And they had some other interesting ideas. But are there any specific tips for Thanksgiving appetizers that you would recommend? Maybe that cranberry dip, because that's cranberries. That sounds pretty neat. But what else would you recommend for Thanksgiving?
Uh-huh. Well, I have several that I actually will be working on myself, but it's a good point that what you just indicated about the sugar. None of my recipes in this cookbook include the cane sugar. I chose to use ingredients that are a bit healthier, say, for example, the coconut palm sugar. That is a healthy alternative to sweeten your food, whether it's baked or non-baked, because it has a lower glycemic index, so you won't get the spikes and dips in your blood glucose. But I also use raw honey and dried fruit. And so as far as the recipes that I like to make, I would say, since my cookbook is all appetizers, I have one that's a baked couscous poppers. And it makes an abundance of them when you use this recipe. And it's a good appetizer to use with, you know, as a side, or you can use it as an appetizer. And I usually dip those in some type of salsa or in a tomato sauce.
So, Maria, if one of our listeners wanted that recipe for baked couscous poppers, could we share that through the facebook.com/AliveToThrive page? Maybe they could send us a message. So if you're listening and if you want to try that recipe, baked couscous poppers, send us a private message through Facebook and we'll get that to you. Or go to butterflyandmoon.com and there's a page that says contact us. Fill that out and or email us at the shop, butterflyandmoon@gmail.com, and we will get you that recipe as our little Thanksgiving gift back. And Maria, any other closing thoughts on tips of just how to prepare and survive? I feel like usually it's only one person or two people in the kitchen providing all the cooking and preparations for a big meal like Thanksgiving with, and you came from a very large family. Any tips on surviving and thriving this week with preparing for a big house full of guests?
Well, I suggest to keep it simple, keep it fun, and create memories, because all of my four sons really enjoy cooking, and that's because I had them right there in the kitchen. And just know that, you know, it's better to work in numbers and to delegate and just have fun.
Well, you mentioned something. You've had your sons in the kitchen. So are you teaching them to cook so that when they go out and live on their own in their own apartments, they'll know how to cook for themselves?
Oh, absolutely. They all four of them are great cooks, and my youngest has even just graduated from a École Culinaire. So, you know, I never expected any of them to make a career out of it, but all four are great cooks.
Well, that's awesome. And I think that's so important because I've noticed even at, unfortunately, one of my family members' house, who won't be mentioned, that, you know, everyone's on their computer or they're watching football and, you know, all the men were just sitting around and all the women were working really hard and there was no togetherness or that connection or creating those memories, as you said. And I think it's great to have the guys in the kitchen and helping to cook, and even if they're not doing the main dishes, if they are chopping and just, you know, getting things set up and being part of it, and like you said. And I love that this is a season for gratitude and just putting out one of my traditions is to put out little affirmations in front of everyone's place setting, and we go around and we read the affirmation, and it just kind of puts us in a nice positive frame of mind, and some of them get you to think, and you know, we ask people to kind of comment on that affirmation, how it applies to them in their life, and that seems to be a little thing that's simple, not hard to do. You can write your own affirmations or get them off the internet, and just having words, positive words, you know, in your decor. That's one of the things I've noticed at Butterfly and Moon, that people are really drawn to those positive energy words like hope and love and joy, and the mosaics, especially that we carry, the vintage jewelry mosaics by Barb Lillis, that have some of those words, you know, that people can bring that into their meal and into their meal setting. So I know, Maria, you're a very spiritual person and you put a lot of love into your cooking. Did this book grow out of your spiritual practice?
Yes, it did. I had been contemplating and wanting to always create a cookbook, and it took 4 years of really trying and just putting myself into an environment and surrounding myself with like-minded, talented people and creative people and support. And it just seemed to flow and evolve. So, yeah, I give a lot of credit to my spirituality and the group and friends that I surround myself with.
And I think that's so important. And we're going to talk with Karen Sullivan here in a minute about that as well. But just the importance of surrounding yourself with the positive energy, getting support, journaling, and feeding your mind is as important as feeding your stomach. So thank you, Maria. Stay with us if you can, but I know that you have a lot of cooking still yet to do to prepare for your book launch at 4 o'clock today at Butterfly and Moon, 814 South Main Street in historic St. Charles. If you're a listener from outside the greater St. Louis area, because I know we do have listeners all over the country, you can call the shop at 636 636- 443-1121. You can order an autographed copy. We've had people call to order multiple copies for different family members. It's a very inexpensive and thoughtful gift, and it can be mailed very easily because it's a very thin and it's not one of these big, giant Fannie Farmer cookbooks that weighs 20 pounds. It's a little book that can be easily mailed for a Christmas gift or a thoughtful birthday gift. So thank you, Maria. Good luck with everything today, and we'll see you later tonight.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we were talking about cooking and healthy ingredients. My next guest is Karen Sullivan, and she will not only share some tips for thriving during the holidays, but also a new event she's creating in 2016 in one of my favorite places, Rehoboth Beach. But Karen Sullivan has written two books. We carry them also at Butterfly and Moon. One is called The Zen of Weight Loss. We had her on the show a couple of years ago, I think it was, with her co-author, Jerry Levesque. Welcome, Karen. How are you today?
I'm well, Brenda. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you so much. And thanks for being with us. And I know you had to rearrange your schedule a little bit to be with us, and you do a lot of coaching. Tell us the types of, before we get into talking about your books, what are some of the topics you're coaching on, and why do women hire you to help them, and what do you help them with?
Well, it's a variety of things, as always. Everybody is a little bit different. I think that one of my clients this morning said, you're actually more of a life coach than you are a fitness person. But it encompasses fitness because I like to get a holistic approach, body, mind, and spirit. And however we need to work to solve whatever their issues are, that's how we attack it. So if I just came from being with a client who's dealing with a great deal of pain today, I go into people's homes here in the St. Charles County area, and I do therapeutic exercise. And she had a lot of pain today. So today we worked on doing some breathing to help her to work through the pain, some a little bit mild stretching, and other things as far as talk therapy with her dealing with her illness. So it just is different for every single person, and I'm always amazed at how versatile I can be. You know, I rise to the occasion.
You know, I like the holistic approach, and having gone through some physical therapy and some rehab in my life with some very serious injuries back in 1996 from a car crash I was in, I really wish I knew someone like I had known someone like you back then, because traditional rehab is very painful, very non-compassionate. Certainly wasn't in my home. I had to go to some sterile environment. But let's talk about your journey. What qualifies you to know about fitness and the body and how the body works? And let's just talk first about the physical part, and then we'll talk about the mind and the spirit. But talk to us about your background with fitness.
Okay, my background, I started in the 80s, actually, with doing exercise and went into a gym and very quickly got tied up in the bodybuilding and powerlifting aspect. And I was young, and so I was able to do those sorts of things, although I think that I beat my body up, and that's a little footnote. I'll get back to that in a second. But I did the powerlifting, bodybuilding, and exercise, and then I've hurt myself and wasn't able to do anything, drifted away from that, and ended up got married, had children, and gained a tremendous amount of weight. I weighed over 300 pounds, and when I finally got a handle on things and lost the weight and started working on losing the weight, I began coaching. And I worked in Williamsburg, Virginia with Williamsburg Aquatic Club, and I worked with the elite swimmers, the kids that were seniors in high school, and helping them to improve their times and strength and conditioning. So once I did that, and then I was still looped into doing exercise for fitness and for outside appearance, And as I got older, I realized that my body wasn't able to move in the way that my younger clients could, and I began to look at doing therapeutic exercise. So my first certification was as a personal trainer. Then I got a second one as a post-rehab exercise specialist. I've been away the last year in Atlanta, and in that time, I got a third certification as MDT training, which is muscle disorders. My specialty in that field is working with people with Parkinson's disease, and I love it. I ran two classes in Atlanta, and I loved it. It was wonderful. So that background helps me to understand how people's bodies can't move the way they used to when they're younger, and mine is not able to because I abused it as a youngster. These extreme sports and everything, I sort of look at those kids now and go, I hope I'm around to see what happens later as sort of an experiment to see, are they going to be okay, or are they going to find they're having the same sorts of issues I personally am having with my body? We're all different, but I think we have to treat ourselves nicely.
Well, so I've been learning about, over the years, unfortunately, it takes a serious injury for some of us to wake up to taking better care of our bodies. And over the years, I've learned, about various foods that help lower inflammation, like pineapple and mangosteen and other foods that increase inflammation, like sugar and flour and breads and meat and sometimes. Anyway, what have you been learning about or sharing with you? So you're specifically working now with people with severe pain, or do you work with all levels of fitness with your clients?
Yeah, I have all levels of fitness. Some people have pain and have serious medical conditions, but at the same time I have folks that are just interested. They'd rather work out at home because they don't want to go to a gym. And as with my clients, I do the virtual coaching, so I work with Skype and I work with FaceTime and have clients that are all around the country. The main thing is, and the emphasis of the Zen of the Weight Loss is you need to build your personal fitness program. You mentioned, Brenda, very accurately the things that, help with inflammation, but that's not always the case with every single person, some people that might have the mango or papaya or any of those things, or even with meats, that it's okay for them, or it makes it worse. So you can never really tell. I have a client who discovered in August with a battery of tests that she's allergic to celery. Who would think? Celery, there's like nothing to celery, right? Well, there are enzymes in foods, and so she has a problem and can't eat it.
Mm-hmm. And I think some foods have been researched. I know the mangosteen has been researched by by the Mayo Clinic, and I know there's like 2,000 studies on PubMed about it, lowering inflammation, and the CRP, the C-reactive protein. But we've talked about the body, let's talk about the mind, because your first book, The Zen of Weight Loss, and your second book, really emphasize journaling. And talk to us about journaling and the importance of focusing your mind in meditation and just having a daily practice.
Well, the daily practice of meditation I refer to as becoming the center of the top. Our lives are like a top, or the Tasmanian devil, if you will, thinking about the way he spins and spins and bounces off of things, and that's how he moves through life. And that's the way life can be for us unless we choose to be centered and quiet. And so I encourage people to, even if you just start with 3 breaths at a time, quiet, stop moving, put everything down, and just take 3 deep, long breaths, and it will help you to become center again and to stop thinking outside what you're doing outside. The mind itself, too, Brenda, the brain likes to have puzzles to work on and things to figure out. And so when we're going through our day, the brain and the mind are always trying to problem solve. And doing this silence and this quiet gets you at least, gives you a little bit of a break. And I believe that in that time period, it allows spirit to work through you to give you the answers that you really need rather than the ones you're trying to figure out.
Well, a lot of my authors I've had on the program have talked about that. Julia Cameron, who wrote The Artist's Way, talked about writing morning pages and also getting out in nature. And almost every successful person to every single one I've had on who has either been successful in business or in life or has written books, or, you know, they all talk about the importance of meditation to clear the mind, focus the mind, discipline the mind. I think our mind, mm-hmm. untrained, will go in all sorts of crazy places. And,
right.
You know, in the middle of the night, you can wake up, start thinking about something, and the next thing you know, it's 2 hours later, people are getting on social media or they're, you know, whatever. What are your recommendations for clients, especially women postmenopausal? They're often waking up in the middle of the night. What are your recommendations for getting beyond that? Do you recommend melatonin, or what do you like?
You know, I don't go that route with anything because I think that there's too much diversity in people's bodies and what you can and cannot handle. There are also a whole lot of, I don't know, I don't want to call them old wives' tales, but there are a whole lot of naturopath cures for things that you can work on. There used to be a time when I would go ahead and try them all, and then I was spending a fortune trying things and finding that what really worked for me best was something completely different from what I had heard from elsewhere. Does that make sense? So I never ask people to try and, you know, take this or take that, and certainly it's out of my realm of expertise to prescribe something. So I feel that people need to be led to an answer for them. And in encouraging my people, I ask them to pay attention. That's what Zen is being now and present. And pay attention to the things that come across their plate, across their table, you know. So if you see things, I call it the power of three. If you see times, it may be time for you to turn around and go, hey, I think I should take that. So people listening to the show are hearing you talk about some things, and they'll go, isn't that interesting? My friend down the street mentioned that too. Wow, gosh, so Brenda may have something because this person did. Then in another day or so, someone else might cross their path that mentions it again. And then I think that again, is spirit controlling the world, you know, because God's there at every minute of every day. And that you go, okay, then I'll try it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think there are certainly a lot of gimmicks out there and a lot of things that pretend or purport to do X, Y, or Z. But I think there's also some science, and I think some of the natural remedies and alternatives have been researched. I mean, I just know from experience, I was very much a skeptic until I had my car crash, and, you know, I had someone mm-hmm. introduce magnets to me, and I thought that was a bunch of bunk, but I tried them, and I think they did work.
Right.
We are magnetic fields.
Right, yeah. And I'm not saying these things don't work for us, but it's to find the one that does work for you can be difficult.
Right.
So that's where I feel you take the advice of a friend and or hear it on the radio or see it, you know, in a tabloid even, you know, going out of the grocery store, that those are the ways that it comes to you, or you to figure it out. You have to figure out what works for you. Same way I can eat celery, my client can't, you know. It's
right.
Some things that you might take, I can't, you know?
And I really think it's listening to your body. Like you said, I think if you're quieting your mind and doing meditation and you kind of start having more balance in your life, I know I never listened to my body. In my 20s, my 30s, I was a workaholic. I was, you know, working hard, drinking after work, a happy hour, go, go, go. I never listened to my body. And then after the car mm-hmm. accident, you know, I was forced for 2 months to, you know, literally be on the couch with a broken leg and cracked ribs to start listening mm-hmm. to my body. And now, you know, I can tell pretty quickly when I try something new, whether it's a food or a supplement or anything, if my body likes it, if it feels good, if it's responding positively, or if it doesn't. And it's very interesting now because I can't tolerate the meat and the fat, the fast food. You know, if I have that stuff, I am up all night with a stomach ache. I just feel terrible. I feel bloated. So let's talk about water, because most people don't drink enough water. They don't really know the benefits of drinking water. Can you talk about that and what you tell your clients?
Yes, and I started with my swimmers. I used to tell them just because you're in the water doesn't mean you're hydrated, that you might not even think that you're hungry, that you're thirsty. You have to make sure, and I know they talk about 8 glasses a day, and that's been around forever. I actually, you know, have heard through the years that you need about 1 ounce for every pound of body fat, pound of weight that you are. So it's a lot of water, but that's usually the case when you're working out. If you're working out and you're sweating, that if you weigh, you know, 120 pounds, you want to have 120 ounces of water.
Wow.
In a day. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot higher than we think. And my indicator that I do, again, it goes back to exactly what you said. You pay attention to what your body is doing. If you are drinking water and you go to the bathroom and it comes out the color of water, then you can pretty much be sure you're okay, you're hydrated, and that you can kind of back off a little bit. But if urine is dark in color, you're not drinking enough water. The other thing about that is you get confusion. There's a lot of confusion. A lot of seniors have problems mm-hmm. with confusion. You see it in the nursing homes where people don't know where they are. It's not necessarily dementia. And it usually comes hand in hand in the nursing homes with somebody that has a UTI. You know, and it's all because they're not drinking enough water, their kidneys aren't flushing, their bladder's not flushing. So, you know, remember that it's not about, I want to make sure that I get this water because they say I'm supposed to do it. Well, it's because your body can't function. Your brain won't have, you know, what it needs as far as in the circulation and oxygenation and everything. They're all tied together.
Well, I have a friend that never drank much water, and she used to use eye drops, which we both have learned in recent years how toxic those are. And her eyes were just chronically dry. And when she started drinking more water, she didn't have to use the eye drops anymore in her eyes. I know for myself, I used to get like cracks in my tongue. I was so dehydrated. I had terrible cracks. But you mentioned seniors. And my father-in-law lived with us for 5 years after having a massive stroke. And he was very dehydrated. He also didn't drink any water. And I was always harping on him to drink more water. Do you work with seniors, and how do you encourage behavioral change?
Well, they know that the answer to that is yes, I do work with a lot of seniors, and they, I harp on them about it, and in the time that I'm with them, I have them drink. It's part of their exercise routine that they're sitting in, whether they're sitting or they're standing up or whatever we're doing, then I'll say, okay, now sit down. I want you to take a drink, and they'll sip and I watch and see what they have. And then just hopefully that they'll be better, you know, because I don't let up on it when I'm present, you know. But that's all you can do. It's settled. You can lead the horse to water, you know, but making them drink. And when they begin
no
to feel...
No pun intended.
No pun intended, right. They when they start to feel better, when they get a little bit more focused, and, you know, they don't have the confusion that they had at the point. It's not, you know, they have to experience it in order to, you know, go ahead and realize, oh, this is a good thing. This is a real good thing. I had one client that has heart issues, and she called me one day and she said, you know, I'm thinking I'm kind of having some congestive heart failure symptoms. I was like, holy criminy. So I called her daughter, who in turn got her to the emergency room. Turned out she was having some issues that were beginning with fluid and could have gone into congestive heart failure. And when the doctor talked to her, she said, "Now, do you take your fluid pills every day?" She said, "No, because I can't get to the bathroom fast enough and it makes me wet my pants." And the doctor said, "Okay, here's the choice. You take the pills or you're going to end up back here in the emergency room without them." So she just, you know, has made sure that she takes the time to take the pill and then she goes to the bathroom more frequently so that she doesn't have a really serious health issue.
So you've done so much with health and fitness over the years and coaching and writing these two books. You're entering a new chapter in your life with a brand new event. This is pretty exciting. That's going to be taking place in 2016 in Rehoboth Beach in Delaware on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about this upcoming event and why people need to know about it now, even though it's about 6 months away, and even though we're in the midst of a holiday season, why we want to be talking about this now because of registration and things. But tell us about the event you're planning.
Oh, it's a two-day event that is designed specifically for caregivers. And it doesn't matter whether parents taking care of their children or children who are caring for their parents, that the connection is really irrelevant. In cases where, you know, people are responsible for a child with a disability or a chronic illness or an acquired illness or something that has happened along the way, or for parents with dementia and Alzheimer's or other physical conditions, the life circumstances are irrelevant. But as a protector for a loved one, and you don't have time to take care of yourself. And those words, take care of yourself, are the ones that can really get to a caregiver, because how do they do it? It's conventional means they can't do, because all of their time is tied up with taking care of their loved one. So I developed this program last year. I have an event planner whose name is Beth McDonald, and she is a parent caregiver herself. Her daughter had some health issues, and well, more when she was a younger person, but she's 26 years old now. And but Beth has lived through it along with, you know, the rest of her family helping her. And she and I would discuss issues that came up with her. And she said to me one day, "You have got to develop this into a program." So in April of last year, I did a seminar in my hometown of Dover, Delaware, and had 10 women there who participated in the workshop that was only 4 hours old. The overwhelming opinion was they loved the holistic approach. It needs to be longer. We need 2 days. How about a weekend? You know, so that's what we're doing now with, you know, 2 days of working with rejuvenation. And the name of the seminar is Repairing the Caregiver. I'm very excited about it. I really am. Hello?
Hi. Sorry. We had a little technical issue right there.
Okay.
I wish I had attended this conference about 5 years ago when I was a caregiver for, you know, a man who had had a massive cerebral stroke. But what are some of the topics you're going to be covering, and are you going to have other guest speakers?
Well, Beth will be speaking from a parent perspective, yes. And then the rest of the workshop is me, is my program. We're doing small group discussions. They're learning about what is ZWL. And like here's a topic is throwing exercise advice away. Motivation is better than madness. Mindfulness for peace of mind. How to excite the brains and changing patterns.
Awesome.
I know. It's really going to be fun. We're having, it's a Monday and Tuesday, the 7th and 8th of March. We have an early bird sign up is that you save $50 if you sign up by the 1st of July. January. And then on Monday night, we're having an evening of fun and relaxation, and the title of that is Let Your Hair Down, Don't Pull It Out. And
I love that.
I think it'll be really fun. So
awesome.
I'm excited.
And
yeah,
what's the capacity what's the number you're shooting for?
We're shooting for, our capacity is 40. And so that's why we're asking people, the time, you know, we're sort of restricted by the hotel with what we can, when we have to get their figures back to them for enrollment. It's going to be at the Atlantic Sands, which is right on the boardwalk. Tuesday morning we're going to do I Will Lead a Meditation on the beach, provided it's warm. And Beth is going to, or one of the other ladies that works with us, is going to do a nice leisurely walk down the boardwalk in the morning before our sessions begin. And, you know, registration for the event is... gets you a copy of the Zen of Weight Loss and a session with me, just a short face-to-face with me. So
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And are you suggesting any particular airlines or people driving, or what's your recommended transportation to get there?
If people are interested in hearing about it, that you can fly in to, I think it's in Salisbury, Maryland.
Even Washington, D.C. and drive over.
Even Washington, D.C., because that's not so far from Rehoboth. And if you go to my webpage, which is zwlcoaching.com, and that's my blog there, and then there is a... there's a tab that is specifically called Repairing the Caregiver, and that will give you more information. And you can always contact us to ask more. We've got some vendors have started calling us about, you know, wanting to be there with their information. So
awesome. And then are you planning to do that also in the Midwest and other parts of the country, or is this a one-time deal?
No, we are planning on bringing it around the country. It's word of mouth. We're kind of, you know, the whole caregiver movement is really a grassroots effort, and these people band together to help each other because they understand each other. And so one person tells another, and then we're hoping to just take it around and have one here.
Right.
I have a couple people from this area who are seriously considering flying out and participating, that are in the midst of caring for parents, and they're like, all right, I need it, and they need it now. So, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I don't know how quickly it'll grow, but that is my hope, that that's where God wants me, and that he'll help me to help other people.
Well, and, you know, people do fly out to weddings and other things, but, you know, how often do people really do something for themselves that's going to be have such lasting impact and a good way to meet some new friends in a nice, intimate environment? You know, really give yourself some love to be surrounded with positive energy like we were talking about earlier. So what else do you got going on in 2016? What's on your bucket list?
My bucket list on 2016, I think that I might like to take a vacation. I haven't done that probably since 2002. My vacations have always been, the last time I went to Rhode Island and we did a book tour in 2013 when the Zen of Weight Loss was published, and other times it's just been traveling to go see family, which has been great, but they're always business-related trips. And I think I need to do something fun.
Sounds like you need to be doing some caregiving on yourself there, Missy.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot of us, you know, give and give, and we need to slow down and take time for ourselves. Do you have another book in the five on your five-year plan, or are you done with writing books?
Oh no, I'm not done. I'm actually working on my third book, which is based on this caregiver program. It's called Repairing the Caregiver, and so I'm into that now. I'd like to have it completed so that people, if they're interested, can purchase in March when we have the event.
Yeah.
I know. Nothing like doing everything in the last minute, right?
Well, it all comes together. The most successful people are sometimes people that are the busiest and pulling it all together. So what are your tips for the holidays? I mean, what are you doing anything different for Thanksgiving that others can learn from in terms of healthier eating or knowing when to stop?
Well, Brenda, we had this conversation briefly the other day, and when I was over in Butterfly Moon, which, by the way, I've got to tell you, I love my tea caddy, my little man hanging on the side of my cup. I love it. So, but the thing of it is I have for so many years, I've been in this business for 25 plus years, and I've always worked with people about this is how you can get through the seasons, this is how you can do it, and everybody just gets so amped out and stressed out about, I really want to eat this, but because my mother made it or my grandmother made it. But bottom line, just do the best you can and eat what you know that your body can handle. I am not making any stuffing this year because I cannot eat wheat, and I'm the one that eats it. Everybody else is sort of indifferent in my family. They'll take a mouthful here or there, but for the most part, I end up eating it days and days after, and I am sick days and days after Thanksgiving. So I'm not even making it this year. And what I'd rather do is concentrate on my family and being here with my kids. And I think that's the important thing, are the loved ones that are around you. So don't stress out about food and what to have and what not to have. You should already know. We're all adults here. We know what we can and can't eat.
And it's mild enough this November to get outside, get some exercise, play a little yard sports, whether it's tossing the football or just walking the dog or just going on one of the many trails that are wherever you live, there's trails. And getting outside and before and after the meal, I think, definitely help with the digestion and just your mind setting, especially if you've been in the kitchen all day cooking and waiting on everybody. Take time for yourself and do a little self-care and get outside and I do want to, I definitely need to plug that the importance of shopping local. There's a whole movement, thanks to American Express, using the hashtags shop local or shop small, to really promote people to support their local merchants in their own community and not go to the big box stores. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the big box stores, but you're going to get better quality product. You're going to get products made by local artists, like at our shop at Butterfly Moon. We have locally made items, whether it's wall art, art to wear. Someone recently said, you have clothing for artists too, and I love that, clothing for artists, because it's lightweight, it's comfortable, it's flowy. And then you mentioned the tea. This month is November is tea month, the month for tea, and we are having a Mrs. Claus holiday tea party on Sunday, November 29th. It's coming up really fast. It's just a week from this Sunday. I can't even believe it. We'll have Mrs. Claus there in person. And we'll have Molly Neesham, who is a master tea blender. She'll also be talking about the history of tea traditions, maybe some recipes. It's a sit-down event by reservation only. We can only accommodate a small number of people in the shop. So probably 12 to 14 people will be max. You can register for that on Eventbrite. It's only $20, and you can go to Mrs. Claus. I think it's Mrs. Claus Holiday Tea is the .eventbrite, but you can also get a link off of butterflymoon.com. There is an upcoming events page where the links are shared for all the events. And that one's going to be a fun one where women can, or men can bring their daughters, their friends, and just have a nice little afternoon. It's going to be at 4 o'clock on November 29th, and we'll have some healthy little treats, nothing too decadent. So get your tickets to that. There is actually a picture of Mrs. Claus there when you go to Eventbrite. And there's a Facebook page, too. And we appreciate the likes, facebook.com/butterflyandmoon. We carry two of Karen Sullivan's books. We've been talking with Karen Sullivan, the author of The Zen of Weight Loss. And her books are, it's a great time of year to start journaling what you're eating, how you're feeling. You know, you don't have to wait and start it on January 1st. You know, I find that if you start with your healthy living, healthy eating in the fall, you're going to be better prepared. And people that make resolutions on January 1st, we know that within 2 to 3 weeks, those resolutions are out the window, and they feel like they've failed, and they don't, they give up. So start now and take the pressure off yourself. What are you reading these days, Karen?
Oh, I just started a book called The Prince in the Heather. I ordered it. I had to order it. Nobody else had it here. I had to get it from the UK. It is out of print, and it's by Eric Linklater, and it is considered the best historical rendition of Scotland and the bonny prince, Charles, and all of the struggles through Scotland, which really interests me a lot. I don't know why. Maybe I was Scottish once.
Well, maybe we knew each other then, because I'm half Scottish too. So.
Oh, see, there we go. There we go. Yeah, I'm reading that, and then and of course I'm always into the spiritual stuff, like with the Don Miguel Ruiz and Emmett Fox and Vera Stanley Adler. I started reading her too. She published, golly, in the 30s and 40s, so
wow.
Kind of interesting. Yeah,
yeah, I love it. I love Emmett Fox, Sermon on the Mount, and all of his writings are awesome. Speaking of writings, I wanted to give a shout out. A couple people were at the shop yesterday that wrote a book called Heal STL. It's a beautiful book of poetry and photography of the art images that were painted on plywood boards on the buildings along South Grand following the Ferguson events in Ferguson. The community just had an overwhelming grief and needed to express on through art, and they took pictures of this art and wrote poems about it, and it's a very uplifting book. It's a collectible book, and Ronald Montgomery and Deborah Gambrell were at the shop yesterday with their new book, and it's just really beautiful, very colorful, and it's very uplifting. And one of the guests that came is Diana Akers, who publishes Around Town St. Charles. And I do want to just say thank you to Diane. Diana, she has been doing so much for the local merchants in St. Charles, Missouri. Around Town has a Facebook page, so you can find it, Around Town St. Charles. It's a great way to plan your day down on historic Main Street. The little white lights are already out. All up and down Main Street is magical. It's absolutely magical. The lighting of the tree will be the day after Thanksgiving. All the shops will be open late on Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday night. It's a nice time to stroll, have some fresh roasted chestnuts. You can grab a hot chocolate outside, listen to carolers that are in costume, and there's a white horse and a white carriage driven by a woman named Laura, and she is up and down Main Street all the time, and you can ride in the horse and carriage. Just a really magical time in historic St. Charles, the first capital of Missouri, and it's probably the best time to come to St. Charles from wherever you are. You know, you can drive or fly, but there are some great bed and breakfasts in town, like La Coco House, who we carry her cookbook, and she's just a lovely woman, Rona Lococo. So we want to encourage people, again, shop local, whatever town you live in, support your local authors, buy their books, give them as Christmas gifts. They're definitely, it's a more meaningful gift than just something you picked up at the mall. Anyway, closing thoughts, Karen. We have to wrap up here. It's gone very quickly. We'll love to have you on again, either before or after your seminar you're hosting in March in Rehoboth Beach.
Thank you. Thank you. And just, it's been wonderful, delightful. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank
it.
You. And we'll be back maybe next week. It's going to be the day after Thanksgiving. It's going to be pretty busy in this part of the country. Owning a gift shop has been an interesting life experience. I love every minute of it. It is definitely time-consuming. And so we may or may not have a show on the 27th. We'll see what happens. But you can always get the latest updates on our Facebook page, facebook.com/AliveToThrive. We appreciate the likes. This program is recorded, so please share the link with your friends and family. They can listen 24/7 any time of the day. So thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend and happy Thanksgiving. We're going to wrap up with a song by Holly Tucker.
Turn the pages of the past.